Sabbath. It is great to see you all on this Sabbath day. Thank you for your prayers as I've been under the weather the last few weeks. And last week we saw the worship service from home as it was live streamed. Praise the Lord for that. But let me tell you, there's nothing like being in the house of the Lord. There's nothing like being with your church family. And this is where we're at today. Praise the Lord. As we get into the Word of God today, let us bow our heads. Most loving and gracious, good and kind, Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we are welcomed by you. You receive us as your own in Jesus' name, in Jesus' blood. And you long to be close to us. And that is the agenda for the day. So, Father, may your Spirit move upon us so that we may move closer to you. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. What difference does it make? Would you agree with me that God is good all the time? God is good. I mean, God is so good that this past week I had a former Bible student of mine from San Jose call me up and said, "Pastor, I just need to call you because I need to praise the Lord. Because God has been so faithful to me. God has been so good. I need to tell somebody." So I'm telling you, Pastor, because God, he gave me another day of life. God, he took care of my issues at work. God, he's helping me in my marriage. God, he is giving me hope for tomorrow. God, he is rebuking me and hitting me between the eyes of the things that need to change in my life. God is good. All I could say was, amen, brother. God is so good. And the truth is, we've only begun to testify of his goodness. I mean, if God is so good, shouldn't it be seen on my face? You better believe it. Let's go to Malachi 3, verse 6. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Malachi chapter 3. Though we'll go to different places in the Bible today, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." There's good news in that verse. I'm not sure if we see it. It's in there. Trust me. Oh, it's in there. The good news is this. One, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's part of the good news. But here's the second piece of good news. Not only is God the same and doesn't change, but God hasn't killed us. That's wonderful news. I mean, sometimes we got family members that we might want to kill. Would you say God would have reason to maybe say, you know, that's enough? Could, and he would be rightfully in his right. But the Bible says God does not change and God hasn't killed us. The Bible says, "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Why are we not consumed? Because God does not change. And that's a problem because I think I'm good. I think maybe I'm alive because I'm a good, righteous person. But the Bible tells me otherwise. What does the Bible say, Romans 3:23? "For some of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some of us, not this side of the church, not that side of the church or the chapel. All of us are sinners. Thank you. That's true. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. God does not change. And because he does not change, we are not consumed. What is the Lord trying to tell us? I'm not good, but yet I'm still alive. How is it possible? Because didn't the Lord God tell Adam and Eve in the garden, in the day that you eat there of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. So that must mean that God must be, he must be good. Because I'm not dead, and I'm a sinner. How is this possible? Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Right after Jeremiah, which is after Isaiah. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Let me tell you about what the things of God that he doesn't change about. Because it's good. Don't take my word for it. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's what? Mercies that we are not what? Consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new how often? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Why are we not consumed? Because of his mercy. Why are we not consumed? Because of his faithfulness and his compassion for you and for me. Tell me that ain't good news. That is amazing news, if you ask me. You see, in talking about the goodness of God, Moses got a glimpse of it. The Bible says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Moses hears of who God is, of who his character is, of how much God loves man, and he has an immediate response. What is that response in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 34? Well, we're going to have to find out. Exodus 34, verse 8, the Bible says, and Moses made haste. That's like he stepped on the gas. And bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Moses saw the goodness of God and that immediately. That without delay, the Bible says, led him to bow his head and worship. When we see the goodness of God, it should lead us to worship. Or have we not seen the goodness of God? What is my response to the goodness of God? I mean, is just coming here one day a week my response to the goodness of God? What is my response to his goodness? I mean, the hymn writer, he says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? How has the love of God impacted you? What has been our response to him? You see, our worship is seen in how we invest our time. Our worship is seen in how we serve God and others. Our worship is seen in how we invest our money. In those three general areas, that's where we see our worship reflected in many, many ways. But is ours really ours? My money. Is it really my money? Oh, that's right. God gave me my money. My time. It's not my time. It's his time. Everything we have is his. I mean, our name isn't even ours. Our parents gave it to us. It's not ours. Nothing's ours. Let's go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will what? Return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Interesting question. The Lord God says, return to me. There's like a distance between us. There's something between us, and it's not good. I don't like it, and I hope you don't like it either. Return to me. Come back home, the Lord God is saying. He's saying, I've given you plenty of reasons to worship me, but yet worship, for some reason, is not coming naturally. It's like something I have to start thinking about rather than it's just flowing. It's just the natural desire of my heart. I don't know about you, but I praise God that I can come to his house of prayer today. How about you? Is it not good to be here? I think so. And the Lord's just beginning with his Sabbath blessing. I mean, the Sabbath blessing continues on after we leave this place. Our obedience is an act of worship. When we serve the Lord, we're showing him that he has been so good and he has loved me so much. The least I can do is love him back. Amen. That would be the natural result, because look what happens when I do this. See? I smile at you, and you smile back. But what about when God loves us? When God sacrificed all for us? Where's the love? Where's the sacrifice back? Or have we not seen his love? Because our worship is a response to his love. How good has he been to you? A little bit? Or has he been very, very good? Or maybe we need to rewrite the hymn. So is thy faithfulness. That's not how it goes. Great is thy faithfulness. Don't you think it's a great time to seek the Lord? Today is the day to seek the Lord. I'd like to say you got tomorrow, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. For someone here, this could be their last day. Today is the day to seek the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, the Bible says. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed who? Me, says the Lord God. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even who? This whole nation. Oh, Pastor, you're not talking about me. Well, the Bible says the whole nation. Maybe I've robbed God. Maybe you've robbed God. Maybe we have robbed God. And here the Bible is saying a way in which we have robbed him in tithes and offerings. Testimonies for the Church, volume 4, page 477. Listen to this. When we give to God what is his, tithes and offerings, the remainder is blessed. But when it is withheld, the whole is cursed. Interesting. Sometimes we think, oh man, that 10% business, well, that's hard stuff. And then like church budget offering, that's like maybe 11% we're talking about now, or maybe 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and then on. That like leaves me with like 80% left, or maybe like 75% left. Man, I don't know if I can survive on such little amount of money. But when we withhold from God, the 100% is what? Cursed. But when we return and trust God, the 100% is blessed. So when we actually withhold from God, who are we hurting? Ourselves. I don't like hurting myself. I like the blessing. What am I giving to God? That is the question. Am I returning a faithful tithe? Aren't you glad it was just payday? I need to wrestle with that question. Am I returning a faithful tithe? What my increase is. Am I giving a joyful and growing church budget offering? You know, I praise the Lord because for the most part, by far and large, we are a tithing church. But the area where we are having challenges as a church is actually with our church budget offering. And the church budget offering has everything to do with the local mission of this church in reaching the lost. And so if we think that maybe the mission is over, that's one thing. But guess what? There's at least 36,000 people yet to be reached in this vicinity. The mission continues. And last but not least, are we giving a sacrificial building fund offering? That's a question to ask. Because I don't know about you, it'd be nice to kneel during corporate prayer, wouldn't it? Oh, that's right, there's no carpet now. Why is there no carpet? Oh, because we're remodeling the church and we're almost done painting the whole church facility. And last time I checked, we have close to about $40,000 for carpet. But that's not the only thing we're needing. We're still needing to paint the ceiling because there's still stains in the ceiling. We're going to outsource that. We still need to drywall and finish electrical work in the new foyer addition. And, oh, that's right, summertime is rolling around the corner, and we want to be able to sit here nice and comfy. That's like air conditioning. And then we also want to remodel the front of the church so that that overhang, that there's a nice word for it. It slips my mind. The carport. That's it. I'm sure there's a nicer word than that, though. We're trying to make that look more presentable. And just in that carpet, $40,000 is already swallowed up. And so tithe is 10%. local church budget offering is above and beyond that, anywhere from 3 to 5% and then on. But then also give a faithful, sacrificial building fund offering. 25 years ago is when we got the last carpet. Oh, that's right. Those nice, comfy pews that you're sitting on, pretty soon they need to be reupholstered. And that will cost some money, too. Am I returning to the one who has given me so much? Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10, not 18, the Bible says, bring what part of the tithe? All the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food where? In my house. And try me when? Now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You see, the time to try God to see if he's going to be faithful is not tomorrow or next week or next pay period. The time is now, the Bible says. And the Bible says, try me. Don't think maybe I'll take care of you. Trust that I will take care of you and move forward in faith. I like me big blessings. I don't like, granted, I appreciate the small blessings, and I count them. We're reminded to do that. But I like the big blessings. The Bible says, pour out for you what kind of blessing? Such blessing, opening the windows of heaven, that you won't have enough room for it. What kind of blessing would that be? I mean, have we received such blessing? How big is such blessing anyway? Well, I'll give you a little visual picture of what such blessing looks like. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Look what the Bible says. Oh, I love what the Bible says. You see, the theories and thoughts and opinions of man. It's just that. That's what man thinks. Such blessing, opening the windows of heaven. Look at what the Bible says, Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the what of heaven were opened? The windows of heaven. Wow. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but what followed next was like water north, south, east, and west. Water all over the place because the windows of heaven were opened. And we are promised blessings of that same magnitude. Have we had such blessing? That's what we're promised. Are God's promises still true? I believe it. How about you? God is so good that he gives us a blessing on top of a blessing. Because look what the Bible says. He's not done blessing. He is a giving God. The Bible says in Malachi 3, verse 11 and 12, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you what? In other words, your neighbors go look at you and be like, oh, that person is blessed. That person God must really love because God is taking care of them. Why is God taking care of them? Oh, because they trusted God. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I don't know what blessing God has up his sleeve for you, but I reckon those must be some big sleeves. He's not done. But until now, this still has yet to stir our hearts so that we completely surrender our lives to God. When is the cross going to stir our hearts? How can I say this? Because there's some things coming out of our mouths. We grumble. We grumble, Pastor? We do. That's what the Bible says. Malachi 3, 13 and 14. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You see, there's something about words that are reflective of our hearts. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Recently, I was counseling a couple who were thinking about getting married. People, tons of people get married these days. Praise the Lord. But yet the fruits of their relationship was not good. And so I asked the following question. Are you happy? There was no smile on the face. I asked, are you at peace? There wasn't that, you know, that quiet assurance. And pretty soon, they knew deep down inside, this was not the will of God. You see, their faces could not disguise what was deep down inside. And so if we're saying things about, what are we saying? The Bible tells us what we're talking about. You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? You see, quietly we could be saying these things. Walking mournfully? As if maybe there's some funeral procession? What is walking mournfully? The spirit of prophecy says, who required them to walk mournfully? Their mournfulness is the fruit of their own will. In other words, my sadness, because I've chosen to not walk in conformity to his will. But then she continues to say, an unsanctified spirit. There's only two spirits in this world. Either we're led by the Spirit of God, or we're led by the devil. And the quicker we understand that, we're able to decipher between the two. Now get this. They complain of who? Of one another. It's a good thing none of us complained about anybody this week. But she takes it further. They complain of one another and of God. Putting an outside show as disappointed men, leaving the impression on the world that it does not pay to be Christians. Does it pay to be a Christian? You see, some of us and our Christianity looks like we're sucking a lemon. I got to go to church. My Bible, I got to be nice to people. Does it pay to be a Christian? You see, we answer that question by what's on our face. It pays to be a Christian. God loves me, and he loves you so much. Maybe life is just as Malachi 3:15 describes. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and they that tempt God are even delivered. Describing a world where all the bad people prosper and all the godly people suffer. Solomon once said that it's just all vanity. But you see, there is a God who sees all things. who knows all things and is acting on our good behalf. What difference does it make to be a Christian? Is the question. What difference does it make to follow Jesus, that gentle Savior, our shepherd? Malachi 3:16 gives us some direction. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Interesting. Who did the Lord hear, according to this verse? Those that feared the Lord. You see, Psalms 88, verse 16 says that when I regard iniquity in my heart, does God hear? No, because I'm just talking to God, wanting my cake and eating it too. Doesn't work that way. The Lord hears those who fear him. And the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, that God will bring everything into judgment. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this is all man's duty. And then we go to Revelation 14, verse 7, and it says, fear God and give him glory and worship him who made the heavens and earth and seas and springs of waters. He listens to those who fear him. I don't know about you, but I want him to listen to me, to my little humble prayers. So what exactly is done in the judgment that started in 1844? This verse answers that question. The Bible says, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. You see, this is where Jesus, our high priest, is looking at the book of remembrance. You see, what exactly is written in the book of remembrance? Well, that's everything we've said and done. But everything we've said and done is in response to this question. Everything I say and do is either because I have accepted and remember and allow the blood of Jesus to change and guide my life, or not. It's my response to the cross. It's how the cross has changed my life if I indeed am a believer in Jesus Christ. It is this book that is looked at, that is being looked at right now. Malachi 3, verse 17 tells us what comes next. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Soon Jesus will come. Soon, looking at the day, at the book of remembrance, and those who fear the Lord who call themselves Christians, soon that will be over, and Jesus will come back to take home his own. When he cometh. To take up his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning. They shall what? Shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. That shining for his beauty that will happen then starts now. Why? Because we have allowed the Savior to have full control of our lives. The Bible says, as we bring this to a close, that Jesus would come and die for our sins, Daniel chapter 9. The Bible says that Jesus would be resurrected on the third day. The Bible says that Jesus would ascend to heaven. Have these things happened? Yes, they have. The Bible says that Jesus would enter the most holy place in 1844 and do his work of judgment of professed believers. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus will come again. So let me ask you, if these first three items have occurred, should we not believe that number four and number five is to occur? That's right. It is not time to be skeptical about Bible prophecy. It is time to believe that it's happening. Jesus says, oh, return to me. Return to me. Have I returned to Jesus? Today we'll get an opportunity to answer that question. Praise the Lord that we got to sing today, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Singing words like, my Jesus, I know thou art. Today is the day to return to Jesus. We're going to be standing as we sing our closing hymn. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Hymn number 289. As we're standing here, the Savior is waiting. Will you respond? Today, I don't know what has separated you from God, but today He's saying, return to me. If you are hearing His voice, inviting you to come to Him, to come back to Him like you've never come to Him, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Because you want to come back to the Lord. You want to make sure nothing is separating you from God. Answer His call. Answer His call today. Maybe it's been a while since you've taken a look at the cross. And you're realizing that how God loves you hasn't been appreciated, hasn't been contemplated, hasn't been received as we should, hasn't affected my life, hasn't changed my life. And you'd like to say, Lord, you've given all to me. I want to give all to you. If that is you, come on. Or maybe you're here and you haven't been in church in a very long time, or it's the first time you have come to church. And you know God is knocking on your heart. And maybe a lot of things that the preacher talked about kind of went over your head, but that's okay. But you know that God is calling you to give your life to Him. My invitation His invitation is to come. The Savior is waiting. Don't wait till tomorrow. Answer today. Come. Come. You see, it is time that when Jesus looks at the book of remembrance and sees what we've done, he can say, my blood has covered it all. It's forgiven. This person has surrendered to me. Return to me. Is there someone here yet who needs to return to the Lord in one way, shape, or form? Come. Even for those of you who are watching online, make your decision too. Today's the day to make our minds up for all. How he wants to come in. Let us sing the second stanza. Your children have heard your invitation and have answered it by faith. Does it pay to be a Christian? Oh, yes, it does. Father, soon the clouds will open wide and we shall see Jesus. And today we make our minds up to come back to you. We thank you because you are a gracious, loving, and forgiving God. And today we want to forsake our sins. Today we want to forsake what has been separating us from you. And we want to hold on to Jesus. We want to walk with Jesus. We want to love Jesus. And we want Jesus to live inside. Prepare us, Father, for the company of angels in glory. May the surrounding people that live in our vicinity be able to see the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the power of God in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.